Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the new Prime Video film, Ricky Stenicki. This movie stars Zac Efron, John Cena, Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino, Jeff Ross, and William H. Macy. The movie was directed by Peter Farley, who has already is well known as a director. You know, he's directed some of the best. Him and his brother, known as the Farley Brothers, have directed some of the best comedies of the 90s, whether it's Dumb and Dumber, Shallow Hal, Me, Myself, and Irene, There's Something About Mary. You know, they've done a lot. And this film in particular, Ricky Stenicki, is about a group of three friends who create this fictional best friend to avoid getting into trouble and things like that. And then 25 years later, once they're all married and, you know, have families and everything like that and have careers, they realize that the lie is starting to catch up with them. So they're going to need somebody to, play the character, because now it's becoming to the point where their wives and their in-laws and things like that are starting to kind of get this idea and everything like that, that they're going to pick up on something. So they hire this Vegas performer, to play the character of Ricky Stenicki, and, you know, one preposterous event after another. Everything about this film is just a raunchy comedy, you know, and it goes downhill from there. And, you know, anything and everything that happens in between is just outlandish. Something about this film, I understand why they kind of released it on Prime Video and not necessarily in the theater, because, you know, there's a lot of things there's a lot of things in this movie that just are way too, way too out there. And, you know, this is a raunchy R-rated comedy, and they haven't made movies like this for quite a while. For obvious reasons, they don't make movies like this because, you know, people are so sensitive nowadays and you don't know who's going to be offended and things like that. But then again, there's a lot of people who are just going to look at this movie as, you know, nothing grotesque, as nothing less of a grotesque juvenile delinquent type movie, and not see the comedic genius behind it and things like that. And my whole thing with that was, I think, because of how far John Cena's come along as an actor and as a comedic actor at that, that it's relatable, it's valuable, and you buy it because of how funny and entertaining John Cena is. The same thing with Zac Efron. We've seen him come so far as an actor, whether he's doing these horrendous movies like Baywatch or something like that, but to see him come along and throw in some of those great dramatic roles, it's easy for him to play the straight guy to John Cena's, you know, crazy and wild character and things like that. It's real easy to play off that character. It's very similar to what Zac Efron had done with the movie Neighbors, you know, along with Seth Rogen and everything like that. But I think it's because of the pedigree and how it's because of these two guys' pedigree that you totally buy it. And I think without these two guys in particular, this movie would have just flew off the radar and nobody probably would have saw it. And I think because of the performance from both of these guys, you know, there is something there. There's something of substance there, so to speak, and everything like that. The movie is sprinkled with hilarious moments from John Cena, obviously, and then there's some great moments with William H. Macy. There's even a couple of great moments with Jeff Ross and everything like that. But, you know, I think my only issue with this film is just, I think it's because it's been a while. It's that with raunchy comedies, there's always that same kind of bland and generic storyline. Like, these guys are putting up a, a facade of this fake friend. And there's only so far they can get away with it before somebody, you know, somebody foils their plan and everything like that. You know, it goes further and further and further. One white little lie is going to get you into so much trouble and things like that. There's only so far you can get it and everything like that. And then there are those people who start to question, you know, they want to get to the bottom of it and everything like that. But, you know, it works to an extent. There's a way around it. But at the same time, it's like, all right, how can we keep this going without alerting anybody? And I think that's where the kind of the movie falters. Like when you pay too much attention to that type of filmmaking and storyline, you know, that's where the movie kind of gets disappointing. But that's what critiquing a film is all about. You got to see, you know, where it goes. The movie is hilarious in a lot of aspects because of the performance from John Cena and everything like that. And it has a lot of some great character building moments from both Zac Efron and John Cena. Andrew Santino and Jermaine Fowler do have moments sprinkled in here and there, but it's kind of almost, you know, like these are just the two loser friends who are there for comedic relief and are there for emotional support and things like that. Like Zac Efron had did a movie a while back called That Awkward Moment with Michael B. Jordan and Miles Teller. Now, the difference here is that all three of those guys have genuine moments because they're all great actors. So whereas in this film, you know, him and John Cena are the only ones who have that kind of range, so to speak, and everything like that. And while the other two guys really don't have anything to do. And that's really unfortunate. It would be kind of cool. You do have some genuine moments between the three friends as the movie progresses and everything like that. But at the same time, it's like, all right, this only works to an extent because there's not that much character building around the other two characters. We see Zac Efron's character go through a lot because of a lot of the baggage that he carries. And then we see the same thing with John Cena because of the baggage that he carries. And the reason why these two guys are so compatible with one another is because they play off of each other and things like that. And I think had the movie, I understand what the movie was going for and everything like that, but had the movie went a route where you could relate to all three of the characters, it would have been a little bit better, you know, but then that would probably made the movie maybe a little bit longer because the movie is coming in at maybe an hour 45 tops, hour 50 minutes, you know. And, you know, this, like I said, without John Cena and without Zac Efron, this movie kind of would have flew over to the wayside. But you're gonna need those big stars and leading men to kind of, you know, promote your movie and everything like that. Because as great as a director that, you know, that Peter Farrelly is, you know, or both Farrelly brothers have been over the years, and they're so good at comedy, you know, his name doesn't carry enough credit to kind of bring in the numbers, especially when it's on a streaming service and everything like that. So I think without the marquee of both of the two guys in the movie, and then of course their performance alone is what carries the entire movie, this movie would have just flew under the radar like nobody's business and everything like that. But you know, John Cena's really, really starting to come out of his own and really kind of get into his comfort zone of where he fits in, because he's done comedies like this before. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Trainwreck or Vacation Friends or Blockers, he's good at these weird, outlandish, raunchy comedy type bits. But a lot of those movies kind of fly under the radar because, you know, like I said, it's because of the day and age that we live in. It's hard to kind of make comedies like that nowadays because of how sensitive people's feelings are and everything like that. With Vacation Friends, it was fun because of how incredibly outlandish that story can be. Blockers, on the other hand, was a little bit, it flew under the radar, but a lot of people enjoyed it because of how relatable it was at the time and everything like that. Most people forget about Trainwreck because of their, you know, their personal thoughts and issues with Amy Schumer and everything like that. But John Cena kind of surprised us in a lot of that because it was the first time we had seen him in a movie like that. So you know, he can be the action star like he's been before and everything like that. And he can also be, you know, this comedic genius. I mean, he's the perfect combination of both because of how far he's come as an actor. And then those of us who are wrestling fans who know how entertaining and how charismatic he can be on TV and everything like that, he's able to do it both. And then, of course, if you've seen both the Suicide Squad and the Peacemaker series, he can be formidable as an action hero and as a comedic genius and everything like that. Like, the guy is really starting to, he's getting better at what he's doing is what I'm saying, you know? Like, he fits into the comedy realm better than a lot of outsiders that we know. Like, a lot of guys, like, you know, if you go based on guys who are from the world of action, it kind of does fall over to the wayside. They don't last too long. But John Cena's really starting to make a name for himself, you know, as far in the realm of comedy, because he's starting to do more movies like this. And his performance here is really, really well. And it's because of his performance that the movie can be more enjoyable than what it actually is. And everything like that. I can see people getting offended by a lot of the jokes that he makes, or, you know, his character before he becomes this, you know, reclusive friend and everything like that. But, you know, if you look past that, you have to go into a film like this under the right mindset, because if you don't, you're going to disappoint yourself and everything like that. But this movie, it kind of had like a silly premise to begin with, but it's the execution of that premise that kind of makes it fun and entertaining. Like, it's fun when it needs to be, it's entertaining when it needs to be, and it's heartfelt and it's dramatic and it's vulnerable when it needs to be. You know, it has all the earmarks of like a 90s raunchy comedy, but it also has that bland storytelling of, you know, somebody who's struggling with their past it starts to affect their future and everything like that. And then you got somebody who never really found their purpose in life, starts to find their purpose in life because of this whole facade and everything like that. But, you know, that's the idea behind it. There's got to be some type of leeway story into this to make it relatable. But then when you start to read into that storyline, that's where the movie starts to get a little disappointing, and so to speak, and everything like that. But other than that, this movie is entertaining. You know, it's like I said, it's been a while since we've seen comedies like this. And, you know, I would, if done correctly, they can be fun and entertaining. They can be enjoyable. And I understand why they're tucked away on the streaming services and everything like that. But I also understand that it's more beneficial to the film as a whole than it is, you know, worrying about box office revenue and things like that. So who knows where the future of raunchy comedies is going to go. But if they look at a movie like Ricky Stenicki and find that formula that can really benefit their film and really, really, you know, put some butts in the seats and make some money off of it, you know, it can be done. It can be done despite, you know, everybody's sensitivity to a lot of the subject matters that, you know, these comedies are known for. But, you know, if done, like I said, if done carefully, if executed carefully, and if, you know, the laughs are there and everything like that, it could be done. And I really hope that they do, because a lot of those comedies from the 90s and the 2000s are phenomenal. Even when we got to movies like to the 2010s and things like that, that's where movies started to kind of take a little bit of a turn, because they weren't making comedies like that no more. You'd see the sprinkle in there a little bit, you know, like Trainwreck and like Blockers and movies like that, even a movie like Good Boys and things like that, because they weren't making too many comedies like that anymore, you know. But then you look at a movie like Neighbors or Pineapple Express or Superbad, or, you know, movies like that, a lot of people, they're fun the first time and they're always been fun, but for some reason they don't make the box office, they don't break the box office, so to speak. So I think, like I said, if done correctly, those raunchy comedies can make a return and everything like that. It can be done, but it has to be done correctly because of the time and place that we live in now, as far as, you know, society and everything like that. But then again, I could always see raunchy comedies giving the old pie to the face to modern taste, because they do it all the time with fucking horror movies. So, you know, who knows? But, you know, this movie, Prime Video, if you're a fan of John Cena, if you're a fan of Zac Efron, if you're a fan of the Farley Brothers, I would definitely check out this movie. It's funny. It's heartfelt when it needs to be. It's entertaining when it needs to be. And, you know, if you want to see John Cena sing a bunch of songs about masturbation, it's there for you. It's hilarious. And then coming off the fact that John Cena, you know, caused quite a stir at the Oscars for presenting best costume with virtually naked and everything like that, you know, go watch the movie Ricky Stanisky and see how fucking funny and entertaining he actually can be. So, you know, there's that and everything like that. So, but that's going to go ahead and do it for today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Let me know what you guys thought about the movie Ricky Stanisky. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Are you a fan of John Cena? Are you a fan of Zac Efron? Whatever the case may be, let me know. Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. You got a 2-for-1 special the other day. Because I totally forgot about the Oscars and everything like that, but check out those episodes. We're going to finish the Kung Fu Panda series. We're going to get ready for some more films that are dropping on streaming services this week, I believe. And then we got a bunch of movies coming out in theaters that we're going to definitely check out. And then I want to say this week we're going to start the 40 years of WrestleMania as we get ready for WrestleMania, which is actually coming up in about 2-3 weeks, I think. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.